You are listening to Indie Soul Rhythms with Minchi Alfonso.
It's good for us. And it's good for me, yeah.
The show that brings you the very best in Indie Soul. It's probably the grooviest show on the planet.
Welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms. Today we are joined by Grammy-nominated R&B sensation, Trey Lorenz. Trey, hey. Welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here with you, my brother.
It is an honor to have you here. So we just jump right into it. And looking back at your remarkable 20-year journey, how does it feel to be stepping back into the spotlight with new music?
Oh, wow. To be honest with you, man, it's almost overwhelming. Right. Because as we spoke a little bit prior to us recording, I got a lot of things going on. Now I got my hands in a lot of different pots. So I'm doing real estate as well as the music. I'm still touring with Mariah and, trying to do the solo thing. And I'm doing it independent. So that requires a little bit more hands-on. It's just a totally different music industry from when I initially got into the game back in the 90s. Actually, late 80s, early 90s.
All right.
So yeah.
Take us back to those early days. What first sparked your passion for music and how did your journey begin?
Well, my father used to tell me that I could always sing along with the radio. So I think, it's just in me. My family is a musical family, especially my dad's side. So he would be the one in there playing all the old records. And my mother was a teacher. So she would have to go to school, her school where she taught on the other side of town. So my dad was responsible for getting me dressed for nursery school, after she had already gone. So that he would tell me the only thing that would keep me still while he got dressed was to play the Jackson 5's third album. So it's ironic that years later, I would do a song with Mariah that was the major hit from the Jackson 5 third album, which was I'll Be There. So music-wise, I've always been, had a passion for music.
Wow. Talking about Mariah, you've worked with her for decades now. How did that collaboration come about? And what has been the most memorable moment from your time touring with her?
Wow. Okay. To tackle the first question, we met with a friend of mine who was also, like a coworker who we sang in a group called Squeak and the Deep. Do you remember Redhead Kingpin?
Yes.
Yeah, do yes. The right thing.
Yes.
Today. I think I might be singing on that record, one of those records, but I'm definitely on that particular project. But he had put together a group of singers, which included myself and a rapper whose name was Squeak. And at the time in the late 80s, it was like a new concept to have a rapper with singers actually all in a group composed of one thing. And we were under the Teddy Riley's umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
So the group disbanded, and he and I remained friends, and he had a session. He said, man, it's a white girl that sound like Whitney Houston. And I went to the studio with him, realized that wasn't quite right, but, close enough, I guess. It was enough to lure me to come with him to the studio, and that's where Mariah and I met. And, we became quick friends and, I eventually started working with her. I sang on a song or two on her debut project because this is prior to her even releasing music. And, we just been friends ever since. And so that was the first question. How did I meet Mariah and what moment? I would have to say for me, probably having the song go to number one that we didn't even expect to release with I'll Be There, which Mariah told me herself was one of her first songs that really broke her in the European market. I didn't know that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's good to know the history. It's good to know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I forget, but yeah, that's what was going on.
You've been on so many classics, R&B classics. from someone to hold you to your, feature on Groove Theories. Tell me, how
Right.
do you think your sound and artistry has evolved over the years?
Well, I don't think I sound as young because I think on a lot of those older records, you can just hear the youth basically. And I always have been attracted to well, I can't necessarily say that because when I first started, like you say, when my dad would play those music, I actually liked the Jackson 5 and like the Supremes or something like that. They had the higher voices because I could sing along with it easily. But as I matured, I've grown into more like I like a little more rougher sound, I guess, in addition to still loving that stuff too. But put it this way, initially, I just really liked the Jackson 5, the Supremes, the people that had the high, the Eddie Kendricks, just my imagination, because I could sing along with it. But as time progressed, it became more the David Ruffins and the, I know you want to leave me and all that kind of stuff. So it became more of that. And so I guess that's been the progression for me because that's a lot of what I actually listen to is a lot of old school stuff. Jerry Butler, who we just lost. My dad loved Jerry Butler. And different artists like that, but I still love that era of music.
Your last solo release was 2 decades ago, right? You
No,
broke
not
off
the
from each
that's
other's magic.
initially, but yeah, that time just goes so fast. I can't believe it's been that long, but yeah, you about right.
And you're coming back, you're making a return with Magic. What inspired Magic, and what message do you hope fans will take from it?
Magic is in like an ode, to where I'm from. I'm from South Carolina. We call that juke joint music. And I've been, listening to the radio and stuff. And Snoop Dogg did a like a TikTok or Instagram post, and he's singing this song called Too Long by this artist named King George. And I loved that. I love it. I still do. I love that song. And I just couldn't believe that these artists that, we know because I'm from South and I was just saying this a niche kind of a market. I hear that when I go home because we all dance with the line dances and the fans and all that kind of stuff. And so I wanted something that was similar to that and that really spoke to who I am musically and where I'm from and my roots. But the next single, which actually drops probably by the time this comes out, is similar to that vein, but it's almost more of a two-step kind of a song, which is really popular in like the Midwest, Chicago, and definitely that area, all in the Midwest. And I hear you guys love it too. It's a stepping song, so it's like it's a
Absolutely.
musical one. And it's called Make Me Wanna Dance. So that's my new single, Make Me Wanna Dance. Make sure you bump that one when you play
No,
this interview.
absolutely, absolutely. We'll do
Yes.
that 100%. So are we expecting a full length up album?
Yeah, I'm actually, it's actually done, to be honest with you. We're just kind of mixing stuff, and I'm just trying to figure out the best way to release it. But technically, I could put the stuff out now, My album, it's going to be called Uncle Trey Returns. So, and I guess one of the reasons I wanted to do the album, well, first of all, for years, a lot of Mariah's fans that we meet on the road throughout the world have been saying, when are you going to put out another project? And, I guess the timing wasn't right. There's so many different reasons. I just was disenchanted with the whole process and, didn't want to deal with the headache of being an artist because I actually love performing with Mariah and Mariah's catalog I love. So it was just like, I can let them deal with that. All I got to do is come, go to rehearsals, sing and stuff. But, and then another reason is that I have three little nieces. They are 10 and 7. The twins are 7. And they'll see stuff like they came to the concert with Mariah and they were just like, Uncle Trey, you're famous. And I was just like, can you sing any of my songs? And they were like, No. So I'm like, you know what? I really want to put some music out so my baby nieces could know who their Uncle Trey is, you know, as a singer. They hear me sing around the house all the time. And I never forget when they were really, really little, like babies. Other people sing. My brother's not a singer, but he can carry too. But then I'd be in there singing and they would just stop and look like, what is going on? Like, it would just tickle me. So they even knew at a young age, something is going on here. We just really have a good time. We've got people that we've worked with. I'm trying to think the least amount of time. Well, we got a new drummer, but for the most part, everybody, a lot of people have been there 20 years. So it feels like a family. And we just really enjoy being around each other. So that's another reason probably that has held me up from even wanting to do a solo thing because I got comfortable in a nutshell.
So, I mean, given your, you've got deep experience in the industry, what are your thoughts on how R&B has evolved over the years?
I think that there are a lot of people that are, maybe not quite as much as the stuff that I listen to all the time, but then there are artists that I think are just simply amazing. There's a young lady that I literally just discovered who's actually out of the UK as well. But Jasmine Sullivan, I think, is absolutely amazing. And hold on, there's this new girl that she says, "Feet don't fail me now." Who is that? You know what I'm talking about?
It rings a bell.
Yeah.
Quite a few names running
Her
through
name
my
is Joy
mind.
Crooks. I think she's out of the UK. Go check her out. Joy
Yes.
Crooks. I'm a big fan of. I heard her stuff. It kind of reminds me of that Amy Winehouse-ish kind of a thing. But there's this other girl that I literally just heard. She's got a smoky sound. And I really need to be writing down names and make sure I save the information because I have been loving that. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Some of the stuff I like, some of the stuff is like, eh, all right, because I feel like they're not really talking about anything. So it's only but so much I can listen to women talk about their body parts and stuff. Like, give me some romance. And I think that's what's missing. I feel there's an audience for that. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like everything is being bombarded. And so now when you actually come out with some music you can play in front of your kids, it's refreshing.
It makes it difficult for us, especially on radio, because I'm constantly receiving music on a weekly basis or even on a daily basis. And some of the music, it sounds good in terms of the music, but lyrical content, you can't play it on radio.
Exactly. So, and I don't know if it's gonna get any better. I'm hoping that's the case, that romance wins out in the end, but who knows? I'm just gonna do what I can do to help hopefully usher in a sound that you can put on when for whatever occasion. The music we've been doing lately has been like if you want to get out and dance, but I also have some ballads that are coming out as well that are more in line with what I do, what people I guess are accustomed to me, that are reminiscent of like the Philly International kind of stuff. You remember that era? Gambling
Having
Huff.
said that, it actually makes me wonder, are there any current artists that you might consider collaborating with?
My goodness. Wow. Since I just named her Joy Crooks, I would love to work with Jasmine Sullivan. She is, if I consider her a newer artist, but she's been out for quite a while. And those are two that come to mind. I actually have a song with a new artist. His name is Elijah Blake. You ever heard of him? Elijah Blake wrote a song on this new album that we're going to put out at some point. We have so many songs that I actually have enough for two volumes. So I'm thinking with the independent thing, I'm going to put out the first 7 or 8 songs and then save another 8 for, 6 months later or something like that, and just kind of work a few at a time so
Right.
y'all don't get tired of me.
I don't think so. I mean, you've been gone for too long, 20 years.
Right. So
Yeah,
now
I
it's gonna
think
be like
everybody
boom, boom.
already.
I'm just throwing stuff at you guys. In addition to that, I didn't completely not do music. So I have been writing and whatnot and doing songs too. And we had two projects for Sony that were supposed to come out that, I got caught up in the political issues and everything, which had some amazing stuff on there. But I think at this point it's been enough time, so some of that stuff is probably reverted back, or maybe I could just upload it to my site, which I definitely want you guys to go check out, trailerrens.com. It will have all the information in terms of my social media stuff and where we when we start doing the concerts, any kind of merchandise. If you guys want to boss up with a Trailer Rens shirt, you can go get that as well on trailerrens.com. So definitely go check out my site and follow me on the social media stuff, and keep in touch with me and talk to me. Let me know. I'm actually horrible with social media, but I'm getting better at it. So slowly but surely, I was dragged on the social media.
Well,
It
you
just
can't
didn't.
get away from it.
But yeah, that's what they were telling me. Somebody said, "You're leaving money on the table." I said, "Oh, really?" And being a Capricorn, I was like, "Okay, let me get into it." So I end up doing it. But I actually find that I enjoy it, because there have been some people out there that support me and that have just been wonderful, and I just really love and appreciate them for uplifting me. And I want to do the same for them. That's They've been telling me that, I've been listening to your music for the past 30 years, and I'm just like, I'm not even 30 years old, so I don't even know what you're talking about. But yeah, so that's been cool. That's been a blessing. And so I actually have been enjoying it, being on social media, that is.
Yeah. So beyond music, you touched on it briefly. You talked about, being in real estate. But I think what most people don't know is that you've actually made a real impact in real estate world, helping families achieve home ownership. What led you to pursue this initiative?
Well, after my mother retired from teaching, she opened up residential care homes in my hometown in South Carolina. And just that spirit, I guess, of giving back and helping others has kind of always been a part of my family, because not only was my mom a teacher, but my grandmother was my aunt, my favorite aunt, my Aunt Diane, who used to play all the old school music when I go over to her house, who passed away. And my grandfather was a professor, actually, so at a college. So they've always had that kind of, give back spirit, I guess. And I initially, during the pandemic, my mom is a hands-on type of person, and she was literally going and collecting rent and going to talk to the tenants herself. And I'm just like, I think there's a better way you can do
Right.
this. So initially, I went to get my real estate license in a sense to help her and just to be a little bit more abreast on the legality of things. And I ended up taking the class, and the lady was like, you have a personality that, you can talk to people, and I enjoy talking to people and whatnot. So I kind of looked at it as, that's another way that maybe I could help somebody. And after selling a few houses and working with people, I actually found that I enjoyed it. So that's another reason why I actually wanted to do music again. That kind of brought about that, because I was like, how can I get this out to other people? Because what I've learned is that in America, and I don't know, it might be the same in the UK, we have a lot of programs. I don't know how long that's gonna last, but we got programs that will help people that are first-time home owners. And the quickest way to building generational wealth is through owning a home, because homes generally appreciate in value
Yes.
way quicker than almost anything else you can have. So I really just wanted to get the knowledge out to people, let them know, like, you might have a belief and everything, but that's not necessarily what the case is. You might be able to get into a home and easier than you think with just a few smart moves and whatnot. So that's going back to me wanting to do music. So I think so that I can talk to the audience, and at some, I'm all, you can see I'm a talker. I can talk to them at some point during the concerts, let them know, listen, I've been doing real estate while definitely during, I started during the pandemic. And I come to realize that I can actually draw a bigger audience by letting them know. So even though I'm licensed in Georgia, I'll be partnering with lenders wherever I am, and seeing if I can't, you know, just get, and I will literally help them out. Like, I'm not, again, I'm not licensed in, let's say if I'm in a Mississippi or Texas or something, but I'll definitely go do the research. And I've been meeting people along the way that have a similar work ethic and concept of service, basically,
Right.
that I believe in, that could, you know, partner with me and help me. And I'll just call and come and check in. Listen, they doing you right? Let me know so I can crack the whip on them just in case I'm out on the road or something. But no, but the overall, the goal is to help people realize the dream of home ownership and building generational wealth.
Now that's really commendable. Got a couple of fun questions to ask you. So if there was a person you could walk in their shoes for a day, who might that be?
Wow. President Trump, and see what craziness is going on. So maybe after the let me think, what are you thinking? Let me no, I don't know. Let me think.
Just get in his head.
I don't know if I should even be saying that on here, but no, seriously, I just really think that it takes a lot for a person to want to take away security blankets for families. I just really think the strength of a person is when you see how compassionate they are and what they're willing to do for somebody else as opposed to what they're willing to do for themselves. So maybe that's what I was thinking. So maybe that's why I said him. He lives rent-free in my mind sometimes. I had to turn the TV off.
That's an interesting one, yeah. And what's the best compliment you've ever received?
That I'm sexy. No, I'm joking. Oh,
Yeah.
I'm joking, y'all. I'm joking. Seriously, that I think it might have really come this through music and through real estate. Like somebody just really saying, thank you for helping me out and, you know, just helping somebody level up. So I think that's probably the one of the biggest for me.
Awesome. And what's the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
The worst. See, I'm thinking about okay, this is really not my story to tell. Oh, but there was an artist who told Mariah before she came out, we laugh about it to this day. And she said to her, you know, you singing too much. They don't want to hear all that. You know, you got to be young and stupid as opposed to non-threatening. So that's the one that came to my mind. So that's really her story. But that's the one that kind of that makes me laugh every time I think. I was like, can you believe somebody told Mariah Carey that? So yes, the artist will be unmentioned, but and they're not with us anymore. So
Right.
yeah, so yeah, I think but the what for me, you know what, I'm to be honest with you, yeah. So I wanted to go into real estate when I was young, and my mom told me, I don't know if you should do that and everything. So that might have been what, I hate to do that to my mom, throw her under the bus, but yeah. My mom telling me not to go into real estate years ago. That's probably one of the worst. I think she her she was more concerned about her baby not being successful or something like to that effect, you know, of me being discriminated against, you know. And so because that really where I'm from, that wasn't, you know, I am from the South. So that might have been a thing. She's like, I don't see any black real estate agents around here, so I don't want you to get your hopes up to be let down. But that was her, mindset and everything. But that's what I call a limiting belief. And that's what I really want to let people know. Like, you should not limit yourself in terms of, like I'm saying, where you and that's not just with own home ownership. That's the way I can help. But in anything you want to do, follow your dreams. You just make sure you have a plan and a goal and set out and be intentional. And you the world, you can make it happen. The world will be yours.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So now I'm thinking about legacy and looking ahead. So reflecting on your journey, what would you say has been the biggest lesson you've learned both in music and in life in general?
Follow your instincts and pray about it. Be prayerful about it. I believe that God answers prayers and he keeps those who are in line with his plan. I believe that there's a higher power. When you get it from him, it's gonna work out. So go put on some Karen Clark shit and let that thing bless you.
All right, the Clark sisters,
Exactly. Yes. Hold on.
and you've inspired so many through your music and obviously your initiative in real estate. What legacy do you hope to leave behind?
A legacy of service, and in addition to that, I should also mention that we also have a nonprofit where we're going to be giving, it's called GIFTS, giving instruments for talented students and people, young kids that might have musical ability that can't afford lessons or instruments. We're going to be giving back to them because they're taking, well, where I am, they're taking music out of schools, and music really helps kids with math and other subjects as well. So that's one thing that I'm proud of, that we're really going to be focusing on and getting out there really soon as well.
No, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah,
Thank
the
you.
radio station I'm on, we've started a an academy for the youths, to, give them skills in radio presentation, DJing, conducting interviews, that kind of thing, and just to help keep, the youths off the street and give them some kind of purpose.
Nice,
I'm really
nice.
getting impressed with what you're doing.
Thank you. And listen, I love that you're just saying that as well. That's amazing. So that's, I see, that's what I'm saying. I loved it. Like when you help somebody, people don't understand. It comes back to you. Not that that's the reason that you're doing it. So in a sense, while you're helping someone else, you're helping yourself too.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like the law of the universe. The
Yes.
more, there's a gold church song that used to say, the more you give, the more he'll give to you. Just keep on giving because it's really true that you can beat God's giving no matter how hard you try.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. This has been an amazing time. So lastly, what's next for you?
Getting this music out. It's a, it's going to, I have to start thinking now in terms of weekly. So we getting some mixes done so that I can be completely done with it and really start working on the next batch of songs. And all this has to be done and completed prior to the end of April because we're going to China with Mariah. So any Chinese fans out there listening, make sure you come out and check us out. It's going to be a great time, a great show. I think we'll be over there for a few weeks. And that's initially what's going on. And then future-wise, I'm trying to get this project out so you guys can but in the meantime, I want y'all to go jam Makes Me Wanna Dance because that's what this song is gonna do. It's gonna make you wanna dance, Moochie.
When is it out?
Tuesday, pre-orders on March 11th. So make sure you guys pre-order, please, please. Or join my newsletter on TreyLorenz.com. Follow me on social media. And then the single itself will be on all streaming platforms Tuesday, March 18th. Okay, makes me want to dance.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Just want to say thank you so much for taking time to chat with us. But before we let you go, I'm going to make you choose what song you want us to play at the end of this interview.
Man, you got to play the new song. Makes me want to dance. Put it on.
Please introduce that song to our listeners.
This is the legendary Trailer Riz. As Mariah once said, the soul-stirring voice of the 20th century. Y'all, please forgive me for clowning like this. No, seriously. Go check out my new song. We actually working on a Afrobeat remix to it that's fire, but that's gonna be 2 months down the road. Right. In the meantime, go check out the original, the radio edit of Trey Lorenz, Make Me Wanna Dance. I love you guys, and thank you so much for the support.
Thank you.
You gotta take two steps to the left. You gotta take two steps to the right. You gotta take, turn that thing around. You gotta take sexy moves. All of the sexy moves you're doing really blows my mind. Oh, oh. Ain't no mistaking, baby. I wanna stop and have my time. You're too legit to quit. What kind of love? Soul Train.